Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of his word. Come sit with us.
In John chapter 17, just hours before he would suffer and die to pay for our sins, Jesus lifted up his eyes and he prayed to his Father in heaven. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed for all true believers throughout the course of time. He prayed for us. He prayed that through the truth of his word, we would glorify him. That God would be glorified in us. That in him, we would be one. That among the followers of Jesus Christ, there would be true spiritual unity. Even as the enemy of our souls attempts to disrupt that unity. He prayed that in our love for him, we would love one another. He prayed that despite the weakness of our flesh, we would not let envy or strife or selfishness rule our hearts and our minds. He prayed that we would be on the alert as false teachers creep into the church and they attempt to lead us away from the truth of his word. He prayed that as the Spirit of God guides us in our walk with him, that we would not misuse our freedom as an opportunity, as an excuse to sin. That we might limit our freedom because of our love for one another. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, this is the focus of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the believers in the church in the city of Corinth. He tells them that we should be willing to set aside our freedom in Christ for the sake of our brothers and sisters. We should be willing to limit our freedom so that we might not cause them to stumble in their walk and to fall into sin. And as we have seen, Paul uses himself as an example. An example of one who has set aside his freedom. He has set aside his right for financial support from them because he believed that in their spiritual weakness, they would be hindered in their progress in the gospel. And though he points out a number of compelling reasons why they should be willing to provide support for him, in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says this, "I have used none of these things. I've used none of these reasons to convince you to support me. And I'm not writing these things to you so that it may be done so in my case. But instead, Paul kept working night and day so that he might not be a burden to any of them. So he cries out, 'It would be better for me to die than to have any man make my boast an empty one.'" Kau kama in Greek. I will guard with my life, my rejoicing, my joy, my glorying in the fact that I refuse to exercise my right to receive financial support from you. Otherwise, my joy would be empty, he says. Kenao in Greek. My joy would be null and void. Paul believed that it was his spiritual privilege. It was his choice to restrict his freedom in Christ in this way. Joy that he did not want any man in Corinth to take away from him by giving him financial support. Rather a unique perspective, isn't it? Especially today. For if I preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he remarks in verse 16, I have nothing to boast about. I can't glory in that. It's because I'm under compulsion. Ananke in Greek. I feel the weight of necessity, a weight that has been placed upon me by God. I've been called by the Lord himself into service for him. So what else could I do except to respond to his call? Just as the prophet Jeremiah noted, you may recall in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, in speaking of his call from the Lord, and he says this, if I say that I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire that is shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it. That's how the Apostle Paul felt. And that's how everyone who has been called of God to serve him feels. For woe is me, he adds in verse 16, if I resist the call of God upon my life and I do not preach the gospel. Well, then, like Jonah, there will be extreme consequences for me. And if I do this voluntarily, he says, hekon in Greek, of my own free will, well, then I would have a reward, but I didn't volunteer for this position, nor did I seek this assignment. It's been placed on me. And even if it was placed upon me against my will, I really had no choice but to respond to this call. So because I've been given a stewardship, oikonomia in Greek, I've been given a divine task, a responsibility from heaven that has been entrusted to me by God. So as a good steward, I must be faithful to do what has been entrusted to me. And Paul says, yes, even without pay. What then is my reward? He asked, misthos in Greek. How then will I be paid? And what are to be my wages that are due to me? Namely this, he says, verse 18. That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge. Adavanos in Greek. Without financial compensation from you. This is my choice. This is my contribution to the ministry in Corinth. That I might not make full use of my right in the gospel for financial support. Paul refused to exercise his freedom in Christ for the sake of those in the church in Corinth, those to whom he ministered because he believed that they were weak in their faith. That's my reward, Paul tells us. Those are my wages. Paul had a far greater goal in mind, didn't he? As we're told in Proverbs 11:30, where it says, he who wins souls, he who rescues them as they are on their way to their eternal ruin is truly wise. So Paul would do whatever was necessary to do in order to rescue the lost. And so he says in verse 19, though I am free in every way, free from all men, eleutheros in Greek, free from their control over me, free from their restraints upon me, free from their customs and free from their traditions, yet he says, as it were, by choice, by my choice, I have made myself a slave to all men. Why? He says, so that I may win all the more to Christ. So without compromising the word of God, without compromising his relationship with Christ, Paul was willing to alter his lifestyle, to alter his preferences, to alter his schedule, to alter his life, if he thought that his freedom would cause someone to stumble and so hinder the work of the Lord. Something to think about, isn't it? So in verse 20, he says to the Jews, I became as a Jew. I adapted myself to their way of life so that I might win Jews to Christ. To those who are still living under the law of Moses and who restrict themselves according to Old Testament practices, I became as one who is under that same law, though he says, I myself am not under that law, but I respected their perspective. I respected them on these things, that I might win to Christ those who are under that law. And to those who are without this law, that is, the Gentiles, I became as one who is without the law of God, respecting their customs and their traditions, though he says in verse 21, I am not without the moral law of God. And he adds, we are under the law of Christ. We are under a law of love. We're under a law of obedience to him. Yet, Paul says, I showed consideration to them, that I might win to Christ those Gentiles who are without the law. And to the spiritually weak, whether they are Jews or Gentiles, those who are without understanding of the things of God, those who are confused in their minds, Paul says, I became weak. I was tenderhearted and I was patient with them. I was like a mother would be with her children, that I might win to Christ the weak. In short, he says, I've become all things to all men. I'm willing to go the extra mile. I'm willing to do that so that I may, by all means, save some. And Paul was not only willing to preach the gospel in order to reach them, he was not only willing to change his lifestyle to reach them, but he was willing to live out the gospel in his own life. Therefore, he set aside anything that would stand in the way of the message of salvation. And in verse 23, he says this, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I might become a fellow partaker of it, sun koi nonos in Greek, sharing the truth, refusing his freedom in Christ so that everyone might share in the blessing of eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord, with him. Now, the Isthmian games were held near the city of Corinth every 2 years. And like the Olympic Games to the north, these games drew a large number of people. And so there were a large number of people in the city of Corinth who were very familiar with those games. And in order to participate in that athletic event, the contestants had to rigorously train for 10 months. And for the last month of their training, they had to train under the supervision of the judges of that event. And the foot race was a major attraction during those games. So in verse 24, Paul borrows from that picture and he says, "Do you not know that those who run in that race all run in order to win?" Well, of course they do. But he says only one receives the prize. But unlike that race, all of us who belong to Jesus Christ can run in such a way that we all may win. But like the requirements of that foot race, the race that we run demands the same thing. It demands commitment. It demands discipline to the task at hand. Each one of us can be a winner by winning souls to Christ. But selfishly holding on to our rights, selfishly holding on to our freedom in Christ at the expense of others is a sure way to lose the race. So in verse 25, Paul says, everyone who competes in these games, the Isthmian games, exercises self-control. En krat euomai in Greek. They limit their freedom in order to focus on the goal. They're willing to give up their time and their pleasure and their comfort, whatever is necessary. And Paul says they do it in order to receive a perishable wreath, a crown made of pine branches. They do all of that for a crown of pine branches. But, he says, we run the race in order to receive an imperishable crown from the Lord, a crown of righteousness, it says in 2 Timothy 4:8, an inheritance, Peter adds in 1 Peter chapter 1. A crown which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. It will last forever. Therefore, Paul tells us in verse 23, I run the race in such a way that I avoid anything that will hinder the progress of the gospel. I run as not without aim, adelos in Greek. I am single-minded. My eyes are fixed on Christ. And he says, this is a fight. This is a battle. So I box in such a way, not aimlessly beating the air, but he says, I buffet my body. Hupo piazzo in Greek. I give myself a black eye. And I make my body my slave. Du lagogeo in Greek. I bring every aspect of my life into submission so that I might reach the goal of reaching the lost for Christ. So that possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself might be disqualified. Adokimos in Greek. Unapproved. Unapproved by God. Unapproved in the work. Failing to pass the test. Telling others how to live for Christ. But failing to live for him myself. Unwilling to pay the price in order to serve the Lord. Letting anyone or anything get in the way of glorifying his name. So, what are we to take away from these words of Paul? What are we to take away from this message from the Lord? I'm sure there are a number of things. But perhaps for some of us in the body of Christ, it is time to wake up. Because time is running out. It's time to get serious. It's time to live for Christ. It's time to glorify his name, because he is coming back to judge the earth, and he will judge the people of this world in his righteousness. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.